This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT.
You're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
33, he says, in the world, you will. He didn't say you might, but he said you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And this ought to encourage us, because if he's in us, then we also are overcomers. Yes, difficulties will come and trials will cross our path, and often we're tempted to quit on God and drop out of the race. But now the race that the Hebrew writer is referring to is not a 100-yard dash, but it's a marathon that requires endurance and preparation. I remember one time in school volunteering to run the 440 in a track meet, and at that time it was called the 440-yard run, which was run one time around the track. But now I believe it's considered a dash now. Well, Reverend Coleman, I was doing pretty good for the first 220 yards. But after that, my legs felt like lead, and I could hardly lift them up off the ground. I wanted to give up. I wanted to quit, but my girlfriend was in the stands, and other friends kept cheering me home. And thankfully, thank you, Ursus, I made it to the finish line, and guess what? I received a second-place medal. I believe that was a bronze. But the only catch to it, it was only two of us in the race. Yes, Lord. But don't laugh. But still, had I given up, I wouldn't have received anything. And so in the same way, in the Christian race, there are times when it's easy to be discouraged about our own race. When trials come, that there may be a temptation to drop out for a while and let others do the running. But in order to receive a reward, you've got to cross the finish line. And so this morning, I want to share some steps from the text that will help you and me run this race we're in, no matter what difficulties we may face. Now, I don't know what you may be facing this morning as you run your race, but I do know that during the things revealed in these three verses will help us all to be runners who are pleasing to the Lord. And so as the Lord gives liberty, allow me to share with you some steps as we talk from the subject, the steps for staying in the race. Because my goal in preaching this message is that when we reach the end of this race, that we will receive a reward. And so let us consider, first of all, step one, and that is we must consider the saints. Note as the author begins this chapter in verse number one, talking about that great cloud of witnesses, he draws our attention back to chapter 11 of Hebrews, where he mentioned many of the great heroes and heroines of faith. And these people are the great cloud of witnesses that surround us as we run the race we've been given. These witnesses of the believer's race are men and women of God whose faithful lives were recorded in the Old Testament. And we know chapter 11 revealed that these saints persevered despite unimaginable oppressions and cruelty, according to Hebrews 11:33-38. But now the fact that they're watching us run our race today is doubtful, but the point of this message is that their testimonies live on. And by showing us their unyielding faith bears witness to the promise of Jesus, urging us to follow their example and run with patience, run with perseverance, the race that has been marked out for us. Now, they didn't run perfectly, but they ran. They didn't quit until the race was finished. They endured unspeakable pain and suffering, but they still hung in there until they reached the finish line. And so if these people could run their race, then so can we. If they could live for the Lord and serve him, so can we. And because they hung in there until the end, they have received their reward. They ran their race, and now they're able to rest in the Father's presence. Now this should give each of us encouragement to run for the Lord, because our race is over when our race is over and we keep the faith, we too will be with him and we will receive a reward that we earned during the course of our race down here below. But now the greatest encouragement that we can derive from these saints is the fact that they are proof positive of the reliability of the Lord. In other words, if God took care of them, honored their faith, sustained them, kept them, used them, blessed them, and got glory from their lives, then he will do the same in your life and my life. Y'all hear? And so when, yes, Lord, when the Bible calls them witnesses, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're watching every move we make, but it does mean that they are witnesses to the faithfulness of God. Because in the same way, he promised to be with us always. For the Hebrew writer writes in Hebrews 13:5 that the Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, step one is to consider faith, but step two is to consider self. Because there's a race to be run, and the wise runner must make careful preparation. The same is true in a spiritual race as well, meaning we will never reach our full potential for the Lord until we are willing to make preparations and sacrifices that are necessary for running this Christian race. We note verse 1b says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Now this refers to a runner making sure that all extra weights have been removed from his body. But in the spiritual arena, this refers to anything that hinders our walk with the Lord. It speaks of things that are innocent in and of themselves, but when they slow you down and hinder you in your Christian race, they become weights and they must go. Now, this list could be endless, but just to name a few. Seeking entertainment instead of fellowshipping and communicating with God. Seeking possessions and things of the world instead of seeking God. Giving our attention to things like music, television shows, movies, and the like that do not focus our minds on the Lord. In short, speaks of anything that does not build us up in or make us stronger in the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with watching TV shows, but if that takes up all of your time, it becomes a waste. Anything that we focus most or the majority of our attention on that does not build us up in the Lord is a weight and a hindrance and should be removed from our lives. But not only are we to lay aside the weight, but also we must lay aside the sin that entangles us. Now this refers to the sin which clings to, distracts, entangles, and trips the Christian runner. The picture is of a man trying to run a race while dressed in a long flowing robe that they wore in those days. And now it would be easy for him to be tripped up and fall out of the race. And so in the same way, there are many sins that could be mentioned at this point, but the idea of this verse is the particular sin that trips you and me up. But only you know what your weaknesses are. Meaning there are some sins that don't even tempt us at all. But there are others that are a constant source of temptation. Such sins as laziness and complacency that keeps us from studying God's word, from coming to Bible study, from coming to Sunday school and worship. The sin that hinders you and me from giving our best to the Lord, from supporting your church through your tithes and offering. And the list could go on and on, but the point is, whatever that sin is that keeps you from giving your all to the Lord, it must be stripped off and avoided at all costs. And since this is a marathon, Reverend Coleman, we must be able to run with patience. Now, this is a picture of a runner setting in for a long haul. If you ever been to a track meet, you notice that when they're running those long races, miles, they'll take off pretty fast and then they'll settle in a steady pace. And they'll just keep that pace. That's the picture that we're getting here, of setting back, of setting the pace and being patient as they run their race. But it's not a picture of setting back to see what will come our way in life, but it's an active word that speaks of a person who has the spirit in him that stands up and faces the trials of life. He runs on because he conquers them and overcomes them in the power of the Lord. And he's able to face his trials because he knows that the Lord has brought it to him for his own good and God's glory. As the Bible says in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for the good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Note the words in verse 1, the race that was set before us, simply means that each of us have our own race to run. Now in saying that, this challenges us to remember a couple of things. Number one, we each have our own race to run, meaning you can't run in my lane and I can't run in yours. My brothers and sisters, I'm convinced that the causes of Christ have been hindered in many cases by those who refuse to run in their own lane, and they end up hindering everyone else around them. But we need to understand that we are not in competition because we are on the same team. Therefore, my job isn't to try to outrun you, but my job is to run for Jesus, the race that he has planned for my life for the best of my ability. But note also, yes, Lord, we must guard our priorities. Note verse 2a tells us that we are to run looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Plainly put, that means we are to use Jesus as our focal point while we run the race that we have been given by God. Meanwhile we run, we must not look back or look at the other runners, because in doing so, it will cause distraction and defeat. In other words, we must be like Apostle Paul declared in Philippians 3:13. He said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Also, we must not focus on our circumstances, because this too will result in distraction and defeat. My brothers and sisters, our eyes are to be on the one who started us in the race, the one who will greet us also at the finish line. And so our primary duty while we run is to look to him. And anything less will spell disaster for the Christian runner. Well, finally, step 3 is to consider the Savior. My brothers and my sisters, as we run this race, we must look to Jesus. And the author of Hebrews goes on to tell us several things about this race that we're able to look to that will help us as we run the race that we've been assigned. And so let us consider Jesus' race. Yes, now his race was a hard race that began in poverty and ended in pain on a cross. His was a race that led him around a track lined with hatred, bitterness, of opposition that desired to see him dead. But his race was a race that set the perfect example of how a race should be run. Because his race was a race in which he never faltered. He never lost sight on the goal. He never quit running until the goal had been achieved. And so the main step for staying in the race when you're feeling like quitting is to look to Jesus and consider the race that he ran for you and me. And then you need to go ahead on and run that race in the name of Jesus. Are y'all here with me? And in the power of the Lord. Because when you consider Christ's reason for running his race to completion, you will be encouraged. Because the Bible says Jesus ran for the joy that was set before him. But Brother Coleman, where is the joy in going to the cross? Where is the joy of dying like a common criminal? Where is the joy of being rejected by people you love? Well, for Jesus, the joy was in what would happen when the race was finished. Because for him, the joy was a day of redemption that would bring about salvation to all who believe. that the day when he would be in heaven with the redeemed of all ages, the day when there would be a new heaven and a brand new earth, where all the redeemed would be worshiping the Father, the day when salvation would be ultimately completed, sin forever destroyed, Satan forever banished, and perfect righteousness will rule every heart. And that's why Jesus ran. He was able to look beyond the cross and despise the shame. He was able to think beyond everything he would be called on to face in this world. And guess what? He was able to see you and me. Yes, Jesus ran his race for us. In other words, we are what motivated the heart of the Savior to go to the cross. Now, verse 3 tells us that Jesus endured much to finish his race. He suffered more than you and I could grasp. He was rejected, hated, and opposed by the audience who came to hear him speak. He was betrayed by a close friend. He was left rejected and forsaken by all of his friends. And he was tried before the high court of the land and charged with treason. And so as I try to move to the close, remember the step for staying in the race is, number one is to consider the saints that ran before us. How through many hard trials and tribulations, they finished the race, which is a testimony to us today of the faithfulness of God to his people, no matter what we face in our race. Number two, we must consider self. By making proper preparations of laying aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us, causing us to want to give up and quit the race. But most importantly, we must consider the Savior, who ran his race for the joy that was set before him, which means he was able to look beyond the agony, the suffering, and the pain, and see you and me. Because he ran his race just for us. It was because of his love for us that motivated the heart of the Savior to go to the cross and die. Because greater love has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for a friend. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died that we might live. Because one Friday on a hill called Calvary, Jesus, he hung dead and died for the sins of the world. And after laying in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights, he got up from the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And after showing himself alive for some 40 days, then he caught a cloud and he went back to glory. Now he's seated on the right hand of the throne of God. He's making intercessions for you and me. And so it's because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lives, I'm going to stay in the race. I'm going to stay in the race because he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. And so let me ask you this morning, how is your race progressing? Do you need encouragement this morning? If so, let me challenge you to get your eyes back on the Lord. Stop looking around at the other runners. Stop looking at the circumstances while you run, but look to him. Get rid of those weights, strip off those besetting sins, and make up your mind to run your race with patience by looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Ain't God all right?
Have you tried him for yourself? Won't he make a way out of no way? I tell you, he's able to do anything but fail. Now, the reason I know that he's able is because I tried him for myself. Too many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. It was grace that brought me thus far, and grace will lead me on. And one of these old days, when my race is over, I want to hear, welcome, boys, saying, servant, well done. You have fought the good fight of faith. You have kept the faith and finished your race. And I'll be receiving that crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. Thank God, all right. Don't fool me now. Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him? Yes, for yourself. If you want to stay in the race, you need to consider those who ran before you and look at how they ran. The many dangers, toils, and snares, but God brought them. And now they are testimony for us. If they could do it, so can we. You need to consider yourself, because the reason some of us are falling aside, because we're carrying too many weights. We're carrying sins, unconfessed sins, and it's knocking us out of the race. But most importantly, if you want to get back in the race, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Lord. You know, if you ever really ran track, and if you ever notice people running track, they don't be running looking back to see how close people are on them. They don't be looking around, looking in the stands, because if they're not careful, they'll trip up and fall. But they're focused. They're focused on one thing, and that's the finish line. And when you're on a marathon, a long race, when you settle in and patience, when you find yourself getting closer and you can see the finish line, then you pick up your speed and you move on until you cross. Yes, Lord, cross the finish line.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1.